Now, just days before the Western oil embargo on Iran takes effect, the country's top nuclear negotiator warns against unconstructive measures against the Iranian people. The secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says as long as certain Western and European countries fail to win the trust of the Iranian nation, success in the talks cannot be guaranteed. In a letter to the P5 Plus One's Catherine Ashton, Saeed Jalili says any talks regarding Iran's nuclear energy program should take place within a cooperative framework. He also says the country is trying to replace logic with illegitimate measures could damage the talks. Press TV's Hamid Reza Emadi joins me now in the studio to shed more light on the issue. Hamid, welcome to the program. Tell us briefly what happened in Moscow and what are the chances that next week's expert-level talks will bear fruit?
Well, Badia, next week's talks in Istanbul will be held just 3 days after the latest round of unilateral sanctions has been imposed on the Iranian nation. And frankly, that could hurt the overall process of negotiations. Many are still wondering what really happened in Moscow. What did Iran and the P5 Plus One ask for? Were there any agreements? Did they find any common grounds? My understanding is what happened in Moscow was the P5 Plus One refused to make any concessions to help talks proceed, but Iran appeared to be more flexible and tried to explain its position more clearly, even to the extent that it provided a PowerPoint presentation. Press TV now has a copy of that presentation. Let me tell you a bit about what it says. The Iranian delegation criticized the P5 Plus One's three-phased approach, which seeks to ultimately deprive Iran of its right to uranium enrichment at any level. The P5 Plus One's plan requires Iran to shut down Fordo, stop 20% enrichment, and ship all of its 20% stockpile out of the country and put it under the custody of the International Atomic Energy Agency in a third country. This is the first phase, but just look at the second phase. It has that Iran must stop enriching uranium at Natanz and Arak sites. And phase three says Iran must implement UN Security Council resolutions that have been adopted by these very same countries minus Germany. Iran says it will not give up its right to full fuel cycle under the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Don't forget that a million Iranians they're using radioisotopes produced by a Tehran research reactor. They need it. Many of them are cancer patients who urgently need the medicine. Iran says it needs to either produce fuel itself for the Tehran research reactor or buy it from outside. So far, nuclear powers have refused to guarantee supply of the fuel. And Iran says, if you're not going to sell it to us, we will make it ourselves because we can. And that's very logical. Iran now, it pretty much looks like the West wants to have its cake and to eat it too. And Iran says it's not going to work that way. The only agreement made in Moscow, in my opinion, was that both sides agreed to hold expert-level talks next week. Then talks at the level of deputies of Dr. Jalili and Lady Ashton, and if things go well in terms of some common grounds being found, then there will be another round of Iran P5 Plus One talks. Remember, these P5 Plus One countries themselves have nuclear weapons and are even upgrading their arsenal as we speak. And there is also Israel here, which everybody knows has hundreds of nuclear warheads, but isn't under any international supervision or control. Iran calls this a hypocrisy and says that no country in the world should possess nuclear weapons.
All right, many thanks, Hamid Reza Emadi, for a detailed account of events, and thanks for sharing your thoughts.